Welcome to a Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. We explore strange tales reported on by Odyssey's radio newsrooms from coast to coast. I'm your Roundup host, Lauren Berry. This week, we're visiting ghosts of a long-gone streetcar system that was recently discovered under a Detroit-area roadway. We'll also hear about the new frontier that artificial intelligence has opened up for ghosts with programs that offer to recreate loved ones who have passed away. To get things started, come along with me to Royal Oak, Michigan, an inner ring suburb of Detroit. A project is currently underway there to create a plaza with outdoor seating. In the process of making that plaza, century-old streetcar tracks were discovered underneath the roadway. Amanda Forrester of Odyssey Station WWJ News Radio in Detroit recently discussed this find with the Royal Oak Historical Society's Robert Muller. Here's some of their talk.
Why don't we start with kind of the obvious, what is a streetcar and what were they used for?
Okay. Amazingly, at the turn of the 20th century, we had an electric rail system running all through eastern North America. Streetcars were generally the ones that were running back and forth within your city, but there was also the interurban. So you could have, in Royal Oak, gotten on a interurban car, and you might have changed because you were hitting different companies and gone, say, all the way to St. Louis for a few dollars. It almost sounds funny to me today because we're thinking so much about, like, electric rail today, and here we had this entire network. What killed it, and it started killing it in the late 40s in Royal Oak, and it killed it completely in Detroit. They still had a streetcar system. I'm not sure how far it went, but I know it came up Woodward to where the State Fair was, and you could have got a streetcar and ridden all the way down to go shopping at Hudson's or something. Basically, Henry Ford killed streetcars. He and Firestone, who made tires, they lost in the Supreme Court because they were doing things that weren't quite kosher. They were telling a lot of cities they'd sell them buses cheap if they got rid of their streetcars. And 1956, Detroit finished getting rid of it. What I've been told is those streetcars were sold to Mexico City, and they're still being used. Royal Oak had, like I said, their system lasted till I think it was 48, at which point buses were messing it up. I mean, a streetcar, we've got some historical references where people commented that the streetcar came in and I can go to my friend's house and only have to walk a mile now instead of walking the whole 6-7 miles to their house. And today most people would, walking a mile would be terrible, but people were excited about this. When buses and cars came in, it's really hard to change the streetcar tracks. That isn't going to happen. And that bus can change its route overnight. So it pretty well caused the doom of streetcars. That's sort of a basic thing of how they operated. They were electric. They had wires that had to go overhead, and a little mast went up and ran on the wires, and so it was an electric motor that was powering the streetcar.
When I hear streetcar, like, I kind of default to, like, the ones that you see in California, like San Diego and San Francisco. I know that they, like, famously had those streetcars, but you don't really picture it in Detroit, and I'm assuming it's because of the prevalence of cars. But what does a discovery like this mean when you're looking at tracks that have been lying under a roadway for decades, waiting to be found?
Over 100 years, about 120 years, and those they just pulled up. I'm not sure what they're doing downtown right now. I don't know why they had to tear so deep, because when they just resurfaced Washington, they went down to the rails, they cleaned everything off between the rails. They couldn't have a rail that was coming loose, because I guess when they put asphalt, which is hundreds of degrees, they would then bend up through the road, which, meant you had to redo your road. So there was a few areas they cut them out, but most of them they were able to put asphalt right over the top. Yeah, they broke all the cement out, and they obviously dug all the way down, pulled out the ties, pulled out the rails. So I'm not sure what they're doing that needed that, because there's probably many, many places under Detroit that the rails, again, are still under the modern road. I'm sure Woodward Avenue has that. I know Main Street in Royal Oak, they resurfaced it, but they didn't go as far, but they were far enough down that you could see the rust lines where the rails were. And we had old maps that showed where the system was, so we were sort of walking around to see, can we tell if they're still there? But, yeah, this entire system, but cars and buses just eliminated it. Cars even more. I mean, you know, you hop in your car, you drive somewhere. You weren't having to either walk or ride a horse in 1900, you know, to get 2-3 miles away from your house. In Royal Oak, there was even a freight depot. You could have ordered things from stores in downtown Detroit. It would have been put on the streetcar, brought up to the Royal Oak Freight Depot, and you could have gone there and picked it up. Sort of the Amazon of 1900.
As we imagine the ghosts of Royal Oak at the turn of the 20th century hopping on a streetcar, artificial intelligence companies are working on ways to make digital ghosts come to life. This idea has been around for a while. Last October, I even reported on news that actress Suzanne Summers' widower, Alan Hamill, was working to create an AI version of her at Summers' request. Now, several AI companies are working on creating these generative ghosts. Dana Wright and Sam Stevie III of the Dana and Parks Show out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City discussed the phenomenon this week.
Jack Manning knows firsthand the emotional and practical challenge of memorializing a loved one in a way that feels appropriate. He lost his sister more than 10 years ago.
Appropriate?
He and his family spent hundreds of hours raising funds to organize a volunteer project honoring her. It took years, he says, of bake sales and 5K to raise money to honor her memory in a way that was meaningful to us. He told CBS News, "I thought, surely, there could be a way that technology can help us." Enter artificial intelligence. Manning, a doctoral candidate in information science at the University of Colorado Boulder, is now studying the use of large language models, LLMs, to create what some are calling generative ghosts. Basically, AI chatbots trained on a dead person's social media posts, emails, audio and video recordings, photos, and other data to create a digital simulation that family and friends can, quote, interact with after an individual's death.
Right.
Quoting here from Manning, "It's definitely a growing sector. We are seeing growth in interest in how AI and grief intertwine."
Well, obviously there's growth in interest because 2 years ago we didn't even think this was possible.
A number of startups now offer these services. Seance AI.
Yeah. Hey, at least they're honest.
No. You Only Virtual and RE Memory.
Seance AI.
RE Memory lets users create lifelike avatars of their loved ones based on photos and voice recordings.
Yep. This is the way of the future.
An associate professor at the University of Colorado Boulder who studies socio-technical systems, Manning and his colleagues observed study participants' reactions to the AI ghosts of people they had lost. Quote, "Participants filled out a simple survey, sharing positive memories of a loved one, talking about their upbringing, their core traits." And they were fascinated by how much this system can do with so little information. There are two basic kinds of generative ghosts. A simple, quote, death bot could be limited to playing back verbatim any statements recorded by a loved one, but would be incapable of simulating the deceased's manner of communication. Generative ghosts, you guys, go significantly further by recreating the deceased's voice and manner of communication, and offering the ability to interact with the living, even responding to questions in a recognizably familiar way.
Literally inputting their personality into a digital cloud.
No, 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 no. Oh, and by the way, it's only $24 a month. This is not...
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to WWJ News Radio in Detroit, The Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities, and WBEN News and Talk in Buffalo. You can find all of these programs and the Something Offbeat podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.